Welcome to today's Bible College curriculum for March the 22nd. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love. Thank you that you are our Father. We ask you, Lord God, to don't let us get off easy, Father God. Straighten us up, Lord, whatever it takes, the 2x4 situations. Hallelujah. Let us go through the process, Lord, of purifying us like gold is purified 7 times, Lord. We say yes, yes, yes to your mercy. Yes, yes to your kindness. Yes, yes to your justice. Yes, yes, Lord God. Do to us as your word says, Lord God in the heavens. We thank you, Father God. And we ask you, Lord God, just to keep us safe as we go through the training, through the process of dealing with problems and figuring out how to take care of them, Lord. We thank you for our challenges. We thank you for the people that offend us, the situations we're in. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to fill us with your presence and your joy. Lord, do it for our good, Lord. If it's grievous, it's harsh, reproofs, instructions, discipline, do it, Lord. And we're willing, Lord. Even if we say we're willing, we're not willing, but we're willing. Help us to be willing. Help us on our honesty, Lord. We put ourselves into your hands that you will do with us as you would like to do, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you for that love, and thank you for blessing all our family members, all the people we love, all our friends, Lord, and their upbringing. All of us are being upbrought by the Lord God. Thank you for our upbringing, Lord, in the proper way. Hallelujah, that we may be obedient, Lord, joyful and thankful, and receive our rewards, Lord. The obedience gives rewards and joy, love, and laughter. Thank you, Father, for today's reading. In Jesus' name, help us to be diligent in looking up the scriptures on our own, Lord, and meditating long and wide in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you again for coming on here today. We're going to run through some scriptures here, and please run with me. Here we go. Healing always comes. Articles by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Healing always comes. Mark 16, 17 and 18 says, all these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. All these signs shall follow them that believe. Always look back. There's signs that are following us. The signs are that they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I used to get upset over people I laid hands on who wouldn't get well. I was praying one day and seeking God about it. And when he spoke to my spirit and said, healing always comes. What? Healing always comes. I remember I said, what do you mean healing always comes? What? Not everyone gets healed. I didn't say that I'll receive it. He answered, healing's always available. Then he spoke very sternly to me. I do my part. And I said they would recover. These words kept me like a ton of bricks. He said they would recover. He never lies. So if he said they would recover, then that means healing always comes. It's not God who's holding back. It's the receivers who aren't receiving. Since then, I never had any trouble laying hands on people and believing for them to be healed, whether they walk away well or not. I just keep standing in faith for them. In fact, I knew if that fellow who went away still sick ever lines his fate up with God and me, I don't care if it's 5 years from now, he'll be healed. They'll get it. My part is believing in love and what the Word of God says. They'll get healed here. If you laid hands on someone who didn't receive his healing, don't cut off the flow of God's power, the powerful love flow, by withdrawing your faith. Stand fast. Keep believing that healing always comes. And somewhere down the line, the poor sick fellow may just decide to stand up and agree with you. Woohoo! Agree with me, say, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. For Jesus said, it is finished. Healing is available on the cross. It is finished. Be healed by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk and be healed, be restored. Amen. Say amen and keep praising the Lord and singing and rejoicing and reading the word of God. And just remember this point in time that we opened the heavens and we received that prayer. Just work on your believing. Got it? Scripture reading is Mark 10, 46 to 52. Go over there and read that and keep on reading. Record it and keep on reading it and believing it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and go to the next reading, which is March 23rd. Okay, we're going to try something new here. Faith to Faith. Coming Together by Kenneth Copeland. Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Beautiful, wonderful words of life. I love the word of God. Ephesians 4:13, it says, until we all come united in faith and believing in the knowledge of the Son of God. In other words, we're all born again. We all become one perfect man in Christ Jesus into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Doesn't that just fill your heart that we're part of the body of Christ and we know it? We know it. We're in the pack. We're in the herd. We're in the family. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got it. We got it. Oh, yeah. Amen. The Lord is good. He's inside of us. He's got a plan, folks. Praise Him when you don't understand. Praise Him the best when you have doubt. Praise Him that you have doubt. If you know how to listen to the voice of God, you can hear Him calling throughout the body of Christ today. He is calling for unity. He is calling us to lay down our disagreements and come together in preparation for Jesus' return. Just the thought of that scares some believers. How can I unify with someone from another denomination? Sounds like exchange of money, huh? They say, I'm not going to give up my doctrines and agree with theirs just for unity's sake. You can be kind. You can be compassionate. You can be joyful that they're human beings. Oh, that was me. Back to the teaching. What they don't realize is this. Scriptural unity isn't based on doctrine. Winds of doctrine, according to Ephesians 4:14, are childish. Winds of doctrine don't unify. They divide and blow people in every direction. The word doesn't say anything about us coming into unity of our doctrines. It says we'll come into the unity of the faith. And I'm Fernando as a kid. I figured this thing out. I said, all it is it's an address. When they say Methodist Church, it's an address. When they say Presbyterian, it's just an address to me. In the past, we failed to understand that and tried to demand doctrinal unity from each other anyway. If you don't agree with me on the issue of tongues, we said, or in the timing of the rapture, or on the people, proper depth, excuse me, for baptism water, or in tithes and offerings, I won't accept you as a brother in the Lord. I'll break fellowship with you. People say that. But that's not God's way of doing things. He doesn't have a long list of doctrinal demands for us to meet. His requirements are simple. 1 John 3:23 tells us what they are. To believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another. That's His requirements. Once you and I come to a place where we keep those requirements and quit worrying about the rest, we'll be able to forget our denominational squabbles, come together in unity of faith. We'll grow so strong together that the winds of doctrine won't be able to divide us apart. When that happens, the devil's going to panic because the unity of the faith of God's people is a staggering thing. It's the most unlimited, powerful thing on earth. What's that? The unity of the faith of God's people is a staggering thing. And that's what we're doing, folks. We're being united. We're doing our part. I'm blessing you. You're blessing me. We are good on this side of the body of Christ. Right now, all over the world, the Spirit is calling the Church of the Living God to unite. Hear Him and obey, and you can be a part of one of the most magnificent moves of God this world has ever seen. Hallelujah. And that's who we are, folks. We are in the most magnificent move of God the world has ever seen, you and I. Go read Psalm 132, verses 13 to 18, and Psalm 133, which is very short, okay? Go do that on your own. Show me some faith. Show us your faith. All right, let's go ahead and move on to March 24th. Obey today. He who, being often reproved, hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed and without remedy. Woo, man. You know, it just comes to reason that we as children always push the envelope. We push the envelope. We push the envelope. Wondering why God is so tolerant, you know, with us. And suddenly, somebody gets into a motorcycle accident and their life is cut short. You know, I remember somebody telling me, they kept telling me that my motorcycle was dangerous. And I prayed and God showed me a vision of me getting my motorcycle and throwing it in a trash bin. And I did. I sold it. I took the advice. He who being often reproved hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Some people have the mistaken idea that when the direction of the Holy Spirit comes to them, they can just ignore it for a while if they want to, and then obey Him later in their own good time. Uh-oh. They think to themselves, I know what I'm doing is wrong. I know my lifestyle isn't right, but I'm just going to do it a little while longer. Then I'll get things straightened out with the Lord. Let me warn you, that is an extremely dangerous thing to do, because God says that when you refuse His guidance, your heart grows hard, callous. It's not that God's grace doesn't extend to you anymore. It's not that He wouldn't forgive you if you turn to Him. It's just that sin will callous your heart to the point where you can't hear Him calling. That's what happened to the children of Israel. God would tell them what to do, and they wouldn't do it. When He was trying to bring them into the promised land, and He told them to go in and possess it, they flatly refused. Of course, they thought they had good reason for refusing. They were so full of fear and unbelief that they actually thought if they did what God said, they'd be destroyed. But you know, it doesn't matter how good your reasons are for disobeying God, that disobedience will cost you. It will harden your heart. Whew. The children of Israel ignored God's leading so often that He finally just sent them into the wilderness. They were so stiff-necked, He couldn't lead them into the blessing He planned for them. And He had to just let them wander around until all but two of them had died. He had to raise a whole new generation of soft-hearted people before He could take them into the land. You know, prayer softens my heart. I don't want to do it. I don't want to get in there. So hard to do prayer, but it softens my heart. Take a lesson from that and don't play around with sin. When God tells you what you need to do, don't put Him off thinking it. It will be easier to do it later. It won't be. It will be harder and harder. When the Spirit of God comes to correct you, follow His instructions and follow them quickly. Keep your heart tender. Obey the Lord. One of the ways that I need, and I do, keep my heart tender is read before I go to sleep. be it 15 minutes, be it whatever it is. It's easy to read the promises, the scriptures on a book for me than to try to read an ongoing novel or a book or it's just easier for me to read promises in the nighttime. It fires me up in the morning. All right, additional reading for today is Nehemiah, write this down, chapter 9, verses 6 through 37. Please go read it and let me know what it says. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 37. Got it? Good person. You're a good woman, man, Charlie Brown. Amen. Okay, now let's go to the 25th of March. I am being in a hurry because I got to go to another meeting. And I still have to read this. Still like to read it in Spanish to my Spanish audience. God bless you all. March 25th, come alive today. Come alive today. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Folks, 2 Corinthians 5:17, folks, our job is to have imagination of the things that brings us joy in the future, or seeing ourselves on our knees, seeing ourselves reading the Bible, seeing ourselves being calm and collective as a good study people, seeing ourselves taking the Bible places and reading it, seeing ourselves being student of the business. And then we can add on a car, a house, or little pictures of here and there of things that will bring us joy. All right, back to the teaching. Resurrection, what do you think of when you hear that word? Most people think of the past, of a stone rolled away, an empty tomb, and a risen Lord. Let me ask you the word again. Resurrection. Praise God, Jesus is alive today, isn't he? You wouldn't be listening to this podcast, I'll tell you that, if he wasn't. What we don't fully understand is this. He's not only one who has been resurrected. We've been resurrected too. We were spiritually resurrected the day we made the Lord Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives. That day we passed from death to life. Woo-hoo! Abundant life, unlimited joy, unlimited love, more goodness, folks, more goodness that we've been resurrected to. Jesus said, it is finished. It is done away. I got this, man. Rejoice. Be thankful. I was reading 1 John, the regular John, and I kept seeing that. You know what? Jesus is so excited. He said, hey, guys, rejoice. We got it made in the shade. Pray what you want. Just believe it and it'll come to you. Man, we won the lottery. That's what he was trying to tell the people. I saw that. And then other times I would read it, I wouldn't see that again. But for some reason or another, I just saw Jesus' enthusiasm and love and joy that we're here to dream and have fun. I don't know. Okay, let's get back to our pious reading. The greater part of your resurrection has already happened. Wow, that's an interesting statement. The greater part of our resurrection has already happened. Let us think about it. When we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives, the Spirit of God hovered over us. The glory of the Lord came into our being. It's all about acceptance, brothers and sisters. And that glory consumed the old sinful man that we were. The old man died, and in his place, a new creature was born. We are creatures from the white lagoon, the white rapids of water. Oh yes, there will be a day when the earthly body you live in will be raised and glorified. Okay? But you don't have to wait until then to be free from sin and from the sickness and poverty and failures that goes with this natural world. We're free from all that right now. Just accept it. Say, I am strong. I am rich. I am wise. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus. I am the sanctified of Christ Jesus. I am the redeemed of the Lord God. Hallelujah. You may be sitting there thinking, well, if I'm so free, why can I quit smoking? Why can I lose this weight? Why does my arm hurt? Why am I always sick? Because you let Satan convince you that you're still under his power. You let him talk you into living as if you're still spiritually dead. Think about it. So today, I want you to begin considering yourself fully alive. Begin thinking of yourself as one who already has the life of God instead of an earthly being who's waiting for the resurrection. Use your imagination. See yourself the best self that could be, fully alive, enthusiastic. See yourself there and thank God for your imagination and seeing yourself. That, folks, is the true picture. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Shalom! Consider yourself dead to sin. Sin doesn't attract you. And you consider yourself dead to condemnation and the tricks of the devil that tries to keep you demoralized. You know, just thank God if you got sin in your life. Thank God if you overdrink. Thank God if you're smoking. Thank God. You know, that's changing. Unless you change, nothing changes. You're using the powerful force of love in God to destroy your loose habits of eating, your loose habits of looking at yourself, your loose habits of smoking. They're all their habits. All you're going to be doing is destroying that old habit with the words of God. I thank you, God, I'm smoking. I thank you, God, I'm overeating. You put a rubber band around your wrist and you remind yourself that you are changing. If nothing changes, nothing changes. Consider yourself dead to your situations and see yourself in the power of Jesus living an abundant life. You'll find yourself living a whole new life today. Repeat after me, say, I am fortunate. I am rich. I am strong. I am good. I am fine. In Jesus' name, amen. If you find that your subconscious mind has something to say about those things that I say, that then you have work to do. Your habits and thought patterns are so deeply in group, you got to go in there and put the word of God in, put the love of God in. Forgive yourself. Especially when I tell people when they're sick, I say, just say, I am good, I am fine. And if it's a female, they'll say, ah, what are you doing? You think I'm fine? And I've seen that happen, folks. You know, it comes from the subconscious mind. I love you. God bless you. We're going to do this. We're going to work it out. We're going to find the crevice and the things we need in this pattern of using our will rightly, turning the tables on the devil. We are delivered by the blood of the Lamb. Say, I am free by the blood of the Lamb. I am fortunate by the blood of the Lamb. I am rich by the blood of the Lamb. I am strong by the blood of the Lamb. I am happy by the blood of the Lamb. I am content by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. See how good it feels? Just keep that up. Keep it up. You're applying the powers of good into our lives and saying the truth. This is the truth, folks. It is the truth. Sorry. Accept it. I love you. Stay.